On this episode, you will learn 5 tax deductions for the second half of the year. We'll dive into how to find more personal expenses that are business tax deductions, and then 5 deductions that you need to plan ahead for. And then stay tuned at the end because we'll talk about a tax strategy that you want to consider that might actually be better to wait for January of the next year. As always, if this episode helps you or brings you value in any way, please do me a favor and share it with a friend. Thank you and enjoy the show. Welcome to Build Your Wealth Muscle, a podcast dedicated to helping fitness entrepreneurs build wealth by saving taxes and growing their money. Each episode will break down different strategies in the areas of business, tax, and retirement planning specifically for your coaching business. Disclaimer, the topics covered in this podcast are for educational purposes only. This is not advice for your specific situation. Please consult a qualified financial or tax professional before making any changes to your financial or tax situation. Now here's your host, certified financial planner and tax advisor, Pat Darby. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Build Your Wealth Muscle. If this is last week, we got pretty busy and unfortunately I had to miss an episode. So for the loyal listeners, I really appreciate that. If this is your first time listening, we do have 2 types of show formats. Today's episode is a solo episode. Obviously, you clicked on that. But this is where we can go pretty deep in the areas of tax, finance, cash flow planning, and I can give you specific guidance and tutorials on that are hopefully you can implement in your business right away. The other type of episode is where we bring on a guest, and that can be in a lot of different categories. They could be an online business owner like yourself, talking about the challenges and the successes they've experienced. Or they could be someone who supports your industry similar to I, in that they might be a marketing, sales, legal, tax, finance, different areas that are supporting your business. For those who don't know, one of the reasons I like bringing people on like that, even though I don't have that many guest episodes lately, because I'm trying to do them in person now, because there's a lot of really great people here in Vegas. So I'm trying to do things in person, up the energy level of, like, you know, that personal interaction. So while I build out the studio, I haven't had as many guests lately. But, you know, if you work with my firm or know anyone who works with my firm, like, we're big fans of the team approach, having different professionals checking out our blind spots and bringing in experts, you know, for specific situations. Like if we're quarterbacking the process, you know, to stick with that analogy, you need to bring in the wide receiver when it's time to do XYZ strategy, things like that. So those are the types of people we'll bring on the podcast. So let's dive right into today's, because as I'm recording this, it's the midway through August 2023. So we are almost like 2/3 of the way through the year in terms of like the fiscal or the calendar year for your finances. So it starts to give us a pretty good idea of where your business is going to be in terms of revenue, expenses, and most importantly, profit. I say most importantly because this episode is going to be about taxes. So by now you have a decent idea of what your current profit is, and then you can make an estimated guess on where your profit's going to end for the year to see what strategies you need to implement. But on top of that, few of the tax strategies that I'm going to talk about, I've talked about in prior episodes, but they take planning. Let me explain what I mean by that. Most tax strategies end on December 31st. Now, if you don't do any tax planning and you sit down with your tax preparer in March or April of next year to do 2023's taxes, it wouldn't take any planning for them to go back and see what you already spent money on. Here's a perfect example. Like if you've been doing no tax strategy, no tax planning, but you've been paying for Facebook ads, for example, he or she can go back and grab all those expenses and write them off. There's no planning to that. They're just grabbing them. But if you wanted to do some of the tax strategies that we're going to talk about today, you have to actually do them and implement them. You can't do them in hindsight. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. But like if there's certain things that you're taking expenses already, a tax preparer can just grab them and write them off. So we're going to go over 5 different things that you can do that are going to take some planning for the end of the year. And if you've listened to this podcast for some of these, I'll be repeating because one, repetition is helpful for learning, but also it's something that needs to be beaten in your head. Like, you need the documentation for these. So before we dive into it, this is also a reminder that your Q3 taxes are coming due September 15th. So if you're sitting down doing your planning and you're looking at what is my profit throughout to the first 8 months of the year through August when you get ready to pay this, you'll have a pretty good idea of whether you're on pace for higher than last year or lower. But if you want the details on how to pay the quarterly taxes, go to episode 39 and I go into all of the details on how you can do a quick calculation. I'll give you the overview here is basically you can take last year's tax return 2022, which by this point, most people listening probably have that number because they filed even with an extension. A lot of people that filed extensions are starting to get that done. But you basically can take that number and divide it by four and pay those quarterlies. You may have to multiply the number by 1.1 if you've made over 150K. Again, I dive into all that, but that's basically the super simple math is look what the taxes you paid last year. And it doesn't, again, I didn't want to get into this deep, but just for those who are not going to go back to episode 39, don't hear me say what you owe and think what I meant by that is when you filed all your taxes, your accountant says to you, you still owe an extra 10 grand. If that means extra, that doesn't necessarily mean what you owed because you might have had withholding somewhere. There might have been quarterly estimates last year. So that's not the full number. It's what you owed, not your balance due. So hopefully that's helpful. But again, please go back to episode 39 or DM me at the Pat Darby. And we'll make sure you get that squared away. So again, the whole point of this episode is evaluate your profit year to date. If you're using QuickBooks, if you're using Excel spreadsheets, whatever it is, see what your profit is throughout the year because that's going to make all this helpful. The next piece of advice before we dive into the five tactics is I would make a personal budget. Now, that might sound confusing or people hate doing it, but in my opinion, the best tax deductions are legally writing off what you're already spending money on. Like TikTok and Instagram, there's no shortage of people telling you to go buy a luxury car over 6,000 pounds and write it off, or like buying things or doing things that are legitimate write-offs. But for your lifestyle or your business, there might be no ROI. It might just be a tax deduction. I don't like those because it's a tax deduction is a coupon. So if you're walking down the street and you're a person who never buys a mink coat and someone says, hey, this $10,000 mink coat, I'll give you a coupon code for it. Yeah, you're getting it cheaper, but it's something you were never going to need. And then in this hypothetical, you can't resell it or trade it to a friend. You know, that's the thing I don't like about it. You're buying something you don't necessarily need or have return on investment for a tax deduction. Conversely, if there's something you're spending money on every single month anyway, and you can make a couple of adjustments and move that into the business, in my opinion, that's a win-win. So that's why you should make a personal budget if you haven't already and go through what you're actually spending money on personally. Because at the end of the day, if you can, there might be things that you forgot. Like, oh, like I have a home office and I totally forgot I'm paying each month for whatever. It could be part of your Wi-Fi bill, for example. Like hypothetically, you forgot that Wi-Fi, a portion of that is part of the home office. So making that personal budget gives you an itemized list of things that you can go through by listening to this podcast, or if you're sitting down with a tax advisor who knows all the things that are legitimate business deductions, and they could say, oh, damn, like I didn't know that you were spending money on this. Here's how we can make it a write-off. So in my opinion, that's super helpful. Go down, see what you're spending money on personally, and then let's find a way to push it into the business. All right. Now, very much to what I just said, that leads into number one. Is there family that we can bring into the business? Again, everything I'm talking about, it goes without saying, we're talking about legitimately. They have to do the work. So let's first talk a spouse or a significant other. You want to find ways to move them into the business. Now, there's a lot of like higher level things that would bring that in. There's like people talk about, I'm drawing a blank, like Social Security, things like that. Cool. Then there's other advantages, like you can add them to retirement accounts if they have a payroll, things like that. That's all cool. But what the main thing that I want to dive into is the unlocking like food and travel and things like that. Because if your significant other is legitimately part of your business and you're flying to a destination to meet with a vendor, to go to a continuing education, whatever it is, their flight isn't deductible if they want to come with you. So if you're planning, like, let's say you live in California and you're going to Miami for a business trip, if they're just your significant other and have nothing to do with your business, obviously they're going to stay in your hotel, but their meals are not a write-off. Their flight is not a write-off. Anything that you guys do together, again, there's no business purpose to it. So you can essentially double the expense that you're going to pay for anyway. Again, because in this scenario, you're planning to bring them, you're going to turn your continuing education or your photo shoot, your vendor meeting, whatever it is, you're going to turn that into a vacation. This is something that you need to take into consideration. They have to be doing something. Same thing with kids. If they're under 17 and you want to pay them less than the standard deduction, which right now is around 13,000, you can do that. Again, there's different procedures, so I'm not going to get into all the different procedures. I want to just keep this top of mind so you can implement it for the end of the year. But if you have kids and you want to get them involved in the business, you have to do it early because they have to actually do the work. You can't implement this strategy on January 1st for 2023 because they had to have actually done something. You had to have actually paid them and moved the money. So start thinking of creative things they can do. And don't be closed-minded on this. Be like, oh, my kid's too young. Because there's little things that they can do. Like they probably know how to like do basic editing on videos and photos. And if you have a home office, they could come in and clean the place and vacuum, and you could pay them for like janitorial services. Like there's legitimate things that they might be doing as chores that you could have those chores be in your home office. And now you're paying your kids to out of the business. So again, if you're going to pay them a reasonable hourly wage to sort files and vacuum and clean the windows all like inside your office, like do those little things, pay them an hourly wage. You have to start doing that now. You got to put on a spreadsheet, document it, and then actually move the money. So again, the next ones we're going to talk about, you have now your family in the business. They are participating in the business. So the next one that we want to maximize is dining. I see all the time these business owners come to me that have very successful businesses and their dining expenses are super low. And I don't know, I think, and sometimes I see it the other way, it's way too high. Like they're writing everything off and I think that's a little aggressive, but it has to be reasonable. But just like I said, if you found a way to get your significant other, your spouse into the business legitimately, now you've unlocked a business expense because it's you can't write off a business meal when you're sitting by yourself in your area. Like if you're traveling, like I can go, I live in Vegas, I can go to Phoenix, I can go to Miami, I can go to New York City, I can go any of those places by myself for a business purpose, and all my meals are a tax write-off because I'm there on business. So it doesn't matter that I'm sitting there by myself. My business purpose allows me to do it. But if I'm here in Vegas, I can't write off going to a coffee shop by myself. I can't write off going to dinner by myself. I can't write off going to dinner with friends or a date. But if that person is part of the business, a vendor or somebody, whatever, that doesn't matter. Now I have a business purpose, even in my own area. So for you married people, date night can be a business write-off. You're sitting there, you're talking about business. This is a person that's on the payroll, is either W-2 or contractor, whatever makes sense for your situation, but you're unlocking more of the dining deduction. Again, you got to eat anyway. Like these are expenses that are probably all over your personal life. Let's move some of them legitimately into the business. Again, I'm not talking about doing things that you're not already spending money on, but finding ways to legitimately make these tax write-offs. And I guess that's especially going to come up with the holidays. Like you might be doing something with family if some of these family members are in the business, you can start doing strategic planning. Like, these are just more ideas to have in mind. Two, and now number three dovetails into this completely, and I've talked about it already today, but I want to emphasize it. Travel. Same thing like we said before. You can't turn personal travel into a business trip while you're there. And I believe the IRS, I can't remember, but I believe the IRS even has a specific example in the Internal Revenue Code where they say, like, you can't fly your family to Disney World and while you're in line for one of the rides, meet somebody who ends up becoming your client and then say, hey, this trip to Disney World was a write-off because it wasn't planned. You started talking to someone and, you know, they needed your services and they became a customer. That doesn't make it a business trip. Now, if you plan to take your family to Disney World and you have clients there and you set up meetings with them, you have vendors there, you set up meetings with them, and there's, you know, clear forethought because there's emails, there's calendar invitations, all that good stuff in advance. Now that trip that you have planned, like you and your spouse have been talking about going somewhere, now you've legitimately turned it into a business trip. So you know what the travel plans that you probably have. You probably have holidays coming up at the end of the year. You might be going to see family. Are there things that you can do while you're there? Do you own a rental property near where your family lives? If you got to get on a flight, go check on that property. Go do some of the maintenance you need. If you have a board of advisors in any of your businesses, make sure you're going and having some of those meetings. Ideally, some of your family members are on your board, which is, again, another way that you could be paying them legitimately if they have business expertise or whatever expertise they might have, paying them for that. So travel plans. So again, you know the plans that you have coming up. We do a lot of work with fitness people. If you have fitness competitions in a certain city, start thinking about what you can do that would be business related. Are you doing content shoots with vendors that are photographers, videographers, whatever the case may be? Set those things up. Are you networking, doing things with other fitness professionals? Same thing if you're in like OnlyFans, something like that. You're always doing collaborations. Make sure if you're planning to go to Miami or Columbia or any of these places, if you plan to go somewhere, make sure that you're making business use out of it. Like, and put those things on your calendar. Don't delete them from your calendar. Like, send people meeting invitations and things like that, because God forbid you get audited. That's what they want to see. They're going to want to see the receipts. They're going to want to see the audit of like your Google calendar or your Outlook calendar to show that you're taking this as a business pretty seriously. And you can prove to them what it is, because if you're on the higher earning side, the challenge you're going to run into is memory, because statistically speaking, the higher earning people get audited towards the end of the IRS's statute of limitations, which is generally 3 years. It can be higher, it can be up to six or infinitely if they think that you've like really started messing around with them, like fraud or gross underreporting of income, things like that. But in general, it's about 3 years. So if you're on the higher income side, they're typically not going to get to you until they're about to lose their window of opportunity. So if you're audited, it's 3 years after you file. So in theory, that business trip that they're calling you out on happened like 3.5-4 years ago. So you may not remember even what the hell you were doing in that particular city for whatever. So you're going to need your calendar. You're going to need your receipts, those things that not just would be providing the IRS auditor, but also you remember, be like, oh, that's right. I had this event, I had this collaboration, we shot this content, here's the revenue we made, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, you're showing someone, this was a fun location, but this is the business purpose. So now number four is kind of a culmination of what we talked about in the beginning, where we're like, see where you are with your taxes. With your profit. See where you are, because it might now be the time to start evaluating switching to an S corp, because I don't advise people to just run out of the gate and be like, I'm starting a brand new business, I need an LLC, I need an S corp. And in fact, it's sort of shitty because people come to me, they already have an S corp, they're not using it. And I don't even want to say it's predatory, because people hear these things like, I need an S corp, and they just run out and go to like a LegalZoom and go grab it. And they don't know. They're not giving you consultations. They're just taking orders. And like, all right, you want an S-Corp? Here it is. The unfortunate side of that is you end up needing to file a tax return for it and not using it. Or conversely, you're making way too much money and you really could use it and you haven't switched there yet. So as a rule of thumb, around 56K of profit, you should be starting to think S-Corp will save me money. So now you can look at that and be like, all right, what should I do? And so if you already have an LLC, get with a tax advisor and say, hey, let me do an S-Corp. Teach me how to do the late election, because you can do that. If you don't have an LLC, it won't let you go back and do the late election. So this is where you'd want to sit down with a tax advisor. And obviously, you can have this conversation with yourself. But now you have a decision to make, because there's not that much, depending on how much money you're making, it may not make sense to immediately build one this year because of the administrative cost and the amount of money you would save for the window of time that's left this year. So you might be having this conversation, getting all your ducks in a row, so January 1st, you hit the ground running. But that's a decision you need to run the math on, because for some people listening, that's going to be a no-brainer. Wait till January. Other people listening, based on the amount of profit that's going to be expected by in the last four or five months of the year, depending on when you listen to this, there might be plenty of profit where it's like, all right, still we do S-Corp. This makes, we'll still save money. But that's something you want to start evaluating. It's like, okay, if my business is kicking ass and I don't have an LLC or an S-Corp, now I got to start talking to people about getting that done. And you have to take this seriously, because the deadline for a lot of this is, well, obviously for the rest of the year, but also if you're going to, well, that's sort of my fifth point, so I should hold it, but there's time constraints on some of the things you're going to do if you're going to be an S-Corp. So that leads me into number five, retirement accounts. Now, again, I would think you should talk to someone when it comes to these retirement accounts, because there's so many different ways to skin this cat. But if you want to start making contributions to a retirement account, there's deadlines to all that. There's considerations, whether you have team members, all these different things that come into play. So if you're making a lot of money, you want to, and you, maybe you're by yourself, if you're already an S-Corp, you need to start making these decisions, because that's what I was going to say before, but I wanted to hold it for this category, that basically you need to have the information on your W-2. So that's why, and that's January 31st of the following year. And if you have employees on your team, the deadline is, I believe, the end of September or early October. It might actually be the end of October. I always forget the safe harbor deadline. But that's why if you have team members and you're considering a retirement account, or if you're by yourself and you're still considering one, you might be an S-Corp considering one, the information needs to be documented to the payroll providers. Like, you will have extra time to put the money in, because you'll, don't get confused by that, because you'll go online, you'll say, when's my contribution deadline? And that will be farther out. But you need to get the payroll provider to put on your W-2 what those numbers are. And that deadline is January 31st. And I'm a big fan of Gusto, but the problem you're going to run into with them is, like many payroll providers, January, they are crammed with everyone doing everything they need to do. So you want to plan ahead, because if you're trying to make all these changes in the January timeframe with your payroll provider, they're probably drowning in other clients doing the same thing, and you risk missing the deadline. So hopefully these five are helpful, because again, all of them require planning. But as always, if you have questions about this, DM me. Also in the show notes, there's always a link to book a free consultation with me, and we can go over all these specifically, what tax strategies are best for you. Because when you work with us, we help you implement, document everything, record keeping. So we try to do our best to get you as bulletproof as possible if, God forbid, you do get audited. So, all right, guys, have a great day. Thank you for joining us this week on Build Your Wealth Muscle. The links mentioned in this episode are available in the show notes. For video clips and more information on tax and retirement strategies for fitness entrepreneurs, please follow my Instagram @ThePatDarby. If you found value in this episode, please do us a favor and share with a friend. If you tag me, that'd be appreciated also. Lastly, for help implementing any of the topics discussed, please book a call. The link is also in the show notes. Thank you again for listening, and have a great day.